Let's get together.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. This is your host, Anthony Benny, bringing you another hour of interesting, fabulous, mysterious, and sometimes unhearable information about your companion animals and the spirit world and everything else in between. So welcome to today's program. Our first guest is Amanda Wilkins of Sinlawn, and Sinlawn is a company that manufactures artificial grass, but they have a special application of this grass that's being used in consumer backyards. So we usually think of turf as for sports fields and for, you know, special applications like that, but there are some special ways to use this for your own backyard. So welcome, Amanda, to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're sorry about the glitches moving towards the beginning of our program today, but here we are, and I am really, really interested in Sinlawn and how you came to take the artificial grass concept and adapt it to use for the backyard of the average person who has companion animals. So can you tell us, is Sinlawn part of a company that makes artificial turf for other applications, and this is a, you know, a branch from it? Or tell us a little bit about Sinlawn and how it came to be.
Sinlawn's sister company is AstroTurf, that was, you know, originally used for sports fields, as you were saying. Sinlawn was the first, you know, residential or non-sports field related side of artificial grass, and it's become really popular in the pet areas that people are having trouble with mud or brown spots and things like that, fleas, ticks, and it's really solved all of those problems without a huge cost. And we also have the zeolite crystals that control the odor, the topping infill that goes over top of the grass in place of the old rubber infill that would have been used for the sports field. So,
wow, that's fascinating. So you are part of AstroTurf, which is the most well-known, you know, turf development company in that industry. So that's a pretty huge connection, and obviously a lot of expertise that came from all those years of development of turf for the sports field. So I think it's really fascinating that you've made these adaptations for home use. Now, when you just mentioned a couple of really key things about using the zeolite crystals, and you know, the average the average backyard consists of dirt, and in the dirt are roots for grass and, you know, weeds and all the other things that grow. And with that, of course, comes fleas and ticks and all the other lovely pests that are part of our backyard life. So tell us how using Sinlawn can prevent your pet from being impacted by parasites like fleas and ticks.
Well, when we do our pet installations, we'll put in a base. We'll remove the existing sod and put in a base, and it really just will have the weed fabric down and a few inches of the base, and then we'll lay over the turf just like carpet, as you would, and it prevents any fleas from coming onto the carpet or ticks coming onto the carpet, and it keeps out all of the mud being not soil-based, and that's really how it works.
Now, the zeolite crystals, they have a specific role, though. Do they actually cause fleas and ticks, that they do try to get on there, to die from the, you know, from desiccating their like exoskeleton? How does that work?
They don't. The zeolite crystals is just for odor control. It's all natural. It's activated with rainwater, so you don't have to actually water down the turf or spray it off like a lot of people think. You know, they have to wash it every day, but it's actually the rainwater that will trigger it to work. The fleas and ticks just stay off of the area just because they can't, you know, maintain life out of the natural grass.
Oh, I see.
Without being on the pet.
Now, in an average, you know, backyard application, about, you know, if you were to undergo this process, how long would it last in the backyard, you know, before it would have to be replaced or replenished in some way?
With Sinlawn, it depends on the installation. For instance, front yard applications would last you 18 years or more. depending on the environment. Our backyard applications, which are heavier foot traffic, people are, it's more in use, that should still last you between 15 and 18 years. So it's a really long life.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, of course, I'm sure one of the questions that people would have, you know, first and foremost on their mind, because we all have to be very budget conscious, is the approximate cost of an installation of Synlawn in a, you know, in a backyard per square foot, or I guess that's the best way to judge it, or per, you know, per acre would probably be a pretty big installation. But what would be your average installation, you know, in size-wise, and what would that usually cost the consumer?
It really varies. We have over 20 different, we have the widest variety, but we have over 20 different types of Synlawn, synthetic grass, and it's all okay to be used for pet areas. So, I mean, from a lot of people install it themselves, so from just product, I mean, it could be anywhere from $3 to $8 a square foot. Installation prices, also depending on which kind, could go anywhere from, say, $8 to $20 a square foot. So it's really broad. We customize each area for the person's needs. So depending on how many dogs they have, what size they are, how big of an area they want to do in their yard. So there's a lot of things that go into it. But
sure, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, if a yard is 100 by 100, it's what that'd be like 10,000 square feet. So, you know, it's just a question of the size of your property, and how much of your yard, or if you're just doing an exercise area, which I'm sure some people do, a designated area for the pets,
right?
With the Synlawn product. Now, does your company do the installations, or do you use independent contractors in different areas, or how does that work?
We do installations, but we also have certified installers all throughout Northern Ohio, and as well as our other locations, but for our location at least.
Great. So that, you know, makes it so that if you are not in the Ohio area, you know, we just contact you through the website. And I do want to have you give that website address. In your particular location, that is Synlawn, Northeast Ohio, but that's N-E, so it's S-Y-N, Lawn, L-A-W-N, of course, N-E, Ohio.com. So to learn a lot more about Synlawn and how it works, I would recommend highly going to that website, Synlawn, N-E, Ohio.com. And what we'd like to do is to just take a quick break and then regroup and ask you some specific questions about the how cleanup is handled with a Synlawn application and some of those other practical questions. So if you wouldn't mind holding on for a moment, we'll be right back.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
people of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network. And we are here today with our guest, Amanda Wilkins from Sinlawn of Northeast Ohio. Welcome back, Amanda.
Thank you.
Now, I wanted to discuss the issue of safety, how, you know, the research has been done and the benefits, really health benefits. Of course, you know, we would never ever want to use a product that wasn't perfectly safe for the pet. And beyond being safe, what, you know, the actual benefits over and above average normal grass lawn. So tell us a little bit about the safety factor first and what work that your company and the, you know, inventors of the material have done to ensure that this is safe for animals to kind of walk around and sniff and hang out in.
Well, our suggested grass for pet installs is called Pet Platinum. It's 100% nylon material with heat block technology. It's been scientifically proven to be 20% cooler than other products. And it also has twice the drainage, allowing a comfortable stay even after a storm for your pet. It eliminates fleas and ticks and other rodents that might be, you know, disease-carrying pests such as moles, gophers. And there's also added security upgrades that reinforce safety of your pets, like pet underground pet containment. Also, the 100% nylon, I mean, it's what you put in your mouth every morning when you brush your teeth. So it's definitely, definitely safe.
Well, that's a good comparison. And you say it's cooler, and we like things that are cool. but so, I mean, here we have a pretty hot day here in Connecticut. I'm not sure what it's like in beautiful Ohio today, but when that sun really beats down, in the case of on a Sinlawn Platinum, you would not get as much of that heating effect because it dissipates the heat. Is that a good way to put it?
Correct.
Now, I thought that was really interesting. You said containment of other animals. Besides, well, let's face it, most of us realize, and you know, we should if we haven't thought about this, that the fleas and ticks that infest and make our animals, our companion animals' lives difficult and ours difficult, are usually carried by rodents. So the prevention of the rodent population from coming into the grass is obviously going to be a second benefit in terms of keeping the fleas and ticks that they carry away from the animals. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, it's really nice. So,
so no rodents, no fleas, no ticks, and no muddy paws. I mean,
nope.
Boy, that's hard to beat the muddy paws. You know, benefit because those of us who who deal with wiping those paws, especially if you've got more than one dog. I mean, it's like you ever try to let two dogs in the house at once with muddy paws and have one wait while you wipe the other's paws. That's a real adventure sometimes. So
yeah, good luck with that.
Now, do you use Sinlawn in your own yard, and do you have animals of your own, Amanda?
I don't. I don't have a dog of my own, but it's an apartment complex, so it's a little hard to have one. That's another popular thing in the apartment complexes where people just have patio space with pets. They'll get the Sinlawn put up on their roof or their roof deck balcony area so that the pet can actually use it as a yard.
Ah, okay. So there's an interesting aspect because you know, we're about, you know, gosh, a little bit more than 45 minutes to an hour out of downtown Manhattan here in at Clear Conscience Pet Headquarters, and it amazes us when we go down to the city how many people down there have dogs, and not just small dogs, big dogs as well. So I think that the I would be really interested, and I think that those who are city dwellers and with the, you know, increase, I think people are moving more back towards the cities, and as lifestyles kind of change. So having animals in the city, something like having a balcony with Sinlawn, could be a really, really cool way to, you know, to have an area where your animal can go to the bathroom without you having to walk down 20 flights of stairs or take an elevator to go do that. So are you getting some of that kind of activity with Sinlawn? Does that seem to be one of the trends that people are using it for?
It is. The pet line altogether is definitely becoming very popular, but the roof decks are definitely a the most popular for us, being close to Cleveland.
Oh, right, right. Now, how does liquid waste get cleaned from a Synlawn application?
Well, the drainage in the turf will take care of the urination, but, you know, other waste is easily picked up, and you can just hose it off if you have anything, you know, any remnants left behind.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a reasonable proposition. Now, so cleaning is basically, you know, real mild soap and water if you're not getting enough rain to kind of naturally rinse through the Synlawn on a regular basis. If you're in an area that's very dry, you just have to basically give it a good rinse.
Right, if needed. I mean, even using soap isn't really necessary unless you've got, like, oil or something stuck in the fibers. Really just hosing it off, it's going to slide right off with what it's made out of. It's very easy to clean.
So what's in the horizon for Synlawn? What new exciting things do you have coming? Has this area of, you know, working more in the residential communities been a good growth area for your company?
It has, definitely for, like I said, the pet areas. It's becoming the most popular thing for us. So we're really excited about that. And getting
now, do you ever go to any, like, pet expos or any of those areas where people might be able to come and see the product demonstrated live? Because I think I'm sure that on the website you have some, you know, video and information. I highly encourage everyone. I want to give that website again, and that is Synlawn, S-Y-N, as in synthetic, Lawn, L-A-W-N-N-E, Northeast Ohio, SynlawnNEOhio.com, to get bunches of great information. But if there are, you know, I'm sure you post if you're going to be at any events and people can come and see the product live. And, you know, sometimes with a unique new idea, you know, people love to see it. But that's the beauty of YouTube and video as well these days. You can kind of get a good idea how something works without having to, see it in person. So, again, I highly recommend that website as a good place to start. And, you know, really, you know, I think that to those who are listening know if they're right for this product because they've dealt with whatever their issues are in their yard. And I encourage everyone to keep an open mind because, you know, at first glance or first hearing, it probably seems like, gosh, why would I want to, you know, replace my regular grass with artificial turf? But if you have a, you know, an exercise area that's fenced in and you can control that, you know, the pests and the mud issues and everything else, it could really, you know, sometimes the difference between being able to really manage your animals, and especially I think perhaps for older folks, this is something really important to look at because it gets difficult sometimes to do the care factors, and I think that this would really, you know, make it a lot easier to care for, you know, animals that do have to go outside to, you know, take care of their sanitary needs. So, you know, I think that this is a newer idea that we love to, you know, expose new things here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio. So I'm really excited that we've been able to, you know, at least give people a first kind of hearing on this and open up their minds to the fact that this could be the solution that they're looking for if they're having difficulties with, you know, mud, with fleas, with ticks. Certainly here in Connecticut, the capital of Lyme disease, and you know, ticks are a huge issue for us here. So that alone is something really worthy of serious consideration. So we're sorry that we had to cut us a little short today because of some of those technical difficulties, but we'd love to have the opportunity to talk to you again sometime, but we want to give you a last chance to, you know, just give us a, you know, give us kind of your final statement of where you feel people should, you know, turn to get more information and, you know, the benefits of Synlawn that you feel as if people should really be thinking of.
We're getting into the Cleveland Pet Expo this year, which is this Saturday, at the Cleveland Convention Center. So we'll be there, and we're providing the turf for the agility course. And we're really excited because we haven't done it yet. So
that's great.
It's our first year. Yeah. So you can come and see us there, or you can even just visit synlawn.com, and you'll be able to find your location easily by typing in your zip code. You can also give us a call at 866-SYNLAWN. And you can also type in your zip code there, and it'll take you to one of us, and we'll be able to answer all your questions about your pet yard. So
866-SYNLAWN. That's SYNLAWN. And Amanda, you've been a good sport, and we really appreciate the opportunity to have this brief introduction to SYNLAWN, and look forward to having the opportunity again to learn more about it. And any of you in the Ohio area, go to that Cleveland Pet Expo. What a great chance to see SYNLAWN in action and lots of other exciting and fun things. If you've never been to a Pet Expo, it's a really a nice thing to do with the family for a Saturday or a Sunday. So go out to the Pet Expo, check out SYNLAWN. Maybe you'll meet Amanda and learn more about how you might be able to change your way of managing your backyard for your pets. So, Amanda, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, and good luck at the Pet Expo. We hope you guys have a great outing there.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thanks again for being with us here on Clear Conscience Pet Radio.
Love for the human race, make it a better place.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. This is your host, Anthony Benny, and I am very pleased to present our second guest, our last guest for today, and that's Paul Pollack. And Paul is with Sit Means Sit of Cleveland Akron. So today's our All Ohio Day. We had our friends from SYNLAWN in Northeast Ohio, so maybe we're making a geographical tour through the Midwest. But Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderfully, and I'm so excited to have you on board with us and appreciative of your taking the time to do it. And let's face it, behavior issues, obedience, training, it's first and foremost on many, many people's minds when it comes to their relationships with their dogs. So we've got some really cool things to talk to you about, and we always love the opportunity to talk to trainers. So tell us how you tell us about Sit Means Sit first. Is Sit Means Sit is it a franchise? Is it a company that you created that has only one location? Tell us about the company itself a little bit.
Yes, Sit Means Sit is a franchise, and there's about 88 franchises throughout the United States and Canada.
Wow. And you're the owner of one of the franchises?
Yes, I'm the owner of the Sit Means Sit in the Cleveland, Akron, Ohio area.
And when did you open your franchise?
In November of 2007.
Wow, so you've been at this for a while now, almost 7 years, so congratulations. It's a fascinating business, but it's very hard work. I know from my decades in the animal care business that You can really get a lot of difficult issues thrown in your face, literally, when it comes to dealing with training dogs. Everything from, you know, aggression issues to, you know, to serious problems with, you know, dogs that don't get along with other dogs or certain people. So, I mean, we could probably spend hours and hours, but let's just start with a simple question. What's the most common thing that people want you to help them with their dogs when they come to see you, Paul?
The most common thing people want, to, in a short answer, would be for their dogs to be enjoyable members of their family. As society has grown, pets are more and more a part of the family. People take them more places and want them more involved in their daily family life. And in order to do that, they need to be trained and be able to behave out in public or when people are coming over to visit, things like that.
So good citizenship, as we say sometimes, canine good citizenship, the ability to be in any situation without, without causing a lot of trouble. Now, you know, it's one thing to try to control our children is difficult enough, but, you know, they presumably speak English, and we need to learn to speak dog, don't we, to really communicate with our dogs?
Absolutely.
So tell me, if you have a dog that comes to you and they have an issue with aggression, because I think that's, of course, the most serious issue, and, you know, sometimes it could be, you know, a simple, not that it's simple, but as a limited thing where a dog has been really a fine citizen, so to speak, who maybe nips somebody or gets into a situation where they're, you know, there's now a concern, and it really breaks my heart sometimes because I hear situations where an animal is put into a bad situation and they just react, and, you know, very serious consequences can happen. So tell us how you deal with not like really hardcore aggressive dogs, because I think that's a different subject, but that poor dog that just has a bad day, and how do you, what questions do you ask the family? And I'm sorry if this is a little specific maybe to some of the things you wanted to talk about, but it's something that's come up recently in our world, not in our own, but a family that we know. So it'd be really cool if you could give us some guidance about that.
Sure. If it's not a severe aggression problem, and we deal with a lot of the nipping and things like that, and a lot of times the dogs are just put in bad situations. So the main thing you want to do first off is, with training, get the dog's attention, because you have to be able to get the dog's attention so that they know they have some structure, they know what's expected of them, what's appropriate behavior, what's not, and just need some leadership. So once you start with training and the dog knows the expectations, then everything else will fall in place. But the main thing is you have to be able to get the dog's attention, because if you don't, that's when things can go wrong.
So that's a great first step, is that you have to have the skill set to even be able to engage the dog into the process of training. I think when people try to do this on their own, you know, the old expression, don't try this at home. Well, of course, you know, we should try to train our dogs at home. That's where they live. But there are times when we just really need the help of a professional, and having the option to work with someone like Sid Means Sid and with you, Paul, is, I think people need to realize that these resources are available, and that it's not, you know, they don't have to figure this out on their own. There's folks like you who have devoted your lives and really trained in training so much that you're going to make this so much easier for them than trying to do it yourself. So I think that, you know, one thing I want to emphasize is don't hesitate to contact the professionals, because that can make all the difference in the world. You know, you're not going to try to do your own electrical work in your home or your plumbing if you're not a plumber or an electrician. So don't assume you can, you know, be an effective dog trainer if that's not your profession. So, you know, for these situations, I really highly recommend that folks, you know, are willing to spend a little bit of money and a little bit of time, and the results can be so satisfying that you'll be very, very pleased that you've done that.
Yeah, and the main thing is, you know, I always tell people to think about it this way. You know, you're a radio talk show host. If I took over your job for a couple of weeks, when you came back, I can guarantee that things won't be running real smoothly. you know, I wasn't trained to do your job. So we can read dogs very quickly. We can pick out what's happening by asking questions, observing the dog's behavior, and the vast majority is very, very, very correctable. It's all fixable. A lot of it's just making the people aware of what's causing the dog to exude those behaviors.
Right. So kind of doing a little bit of detective work, so to speak, asking the right questions, sort of instead of just dealing with the symptoms to try to get to the causes and then sort of correct from there. Now, the old expression, and, I hate cliches, but this is one of those that I'm sure you've heard a million times. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Now, sometimes, folks have a situation where a dog who's just been perfectly fine at 7, 8 years old starts to have some difficulties and problems, whatever they may be. And without getting into the specific problem, is that really just a total myth? Is there any real correlation between the age of a dog and their trainability?
No correlation at all. Other than with, if you're comparing it to a puppy, the puppy's learning ability isn't as high as an older dog. But we train dogs from puppy stage, and the oldest one I've personally trained is 14 years old, or
wow.
Was 14 years old. Yeah.
Well, thank you for dispelling that myth, because I kind of felt that was the answer, but to hear from a professional like yourself is really important, because I don't want anyone out there to ever think that because, their dog is 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, if something's happening that's making them unhappy and making your household less harmonious, then, don't assume that you can't just, go and find a wonderful person like Paul to help you to figure it out. It may be as simple as a few sessions. And now, do you do your sessions both at home and in like a classroom setting at your facility? How does that work with Sit Means Sit?
Yeah, yes, we do them a few different ways. We do in-home private lessons where we'll go out to the client's house and work with them in their house where the dog's living in that kind of situation. With that, we add on group classes once the dog has knows the commands and we have some attention with the dog and the owners know how to handle the dog. We move them into a group class setting where we're basically all the tools that we've given them, we're just going to have the dogs be doing that with 20 other dogs and handlers in the room. So with just a lot more distractions. And then we also do, board and train programs where, yes, the dogs will come to our facility and we do all the training for them. So, it's a lot of times people are busy. They have families, they have kids, or, getting the kids to school, they get home, they don't have time to practice the stuff that we would show them in private lessons. And the reality is we're dog trainers, so we can fix things a lot faster. So they come stay with us, and by the time they go home, they're ready to go. They already know all the commands, and at that point, we're just teaching the owners the commands and then having the dog do it for them.
Great. Now, if we can, Paul, if we could have you back for our next segment, we'd love to have you back and just take a short break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about some more specific behavior issues so we can kind of get some tips maybe for folks to maybe at least try some, little things that can help the situation. So we'll be back in a minute.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
People of the world, let's get together.
I know.
Let's all make this world a better place.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network, your network for everything pet. And our guest for this portion of our program is Paul Pollock of Sit Pet. means sit in Cleveland, Akron area. And for those of you who aren't in Northern Ohio, by all means, look up Sit Means Sit online and see, you know, who the local franchisees could be in your area, because it's a great organization. And obviously with 88 franchises, they're doing something right. So welcome back, Paul.
Thank you.
So we were just, you know, leaving with your saying that there are those who because of their schedules and just, you know, various circumstances, actually choose to leave a dog with you for a certain period of time to train, and kind of like sending your kids off to boarding school and hoping that they come back smarter and more gentlemanly or ladylike. So what typically, how long would somebody leave a dog with you for, like, a basic training program?
The basics go from anywhere from 7 days to 10 days to 15 and up to even 20.
Okay. So you obviously have a boarding facility that's part of your overall facility. And
correct.
And that gives you the opportunity to kind of have, like, an intensive, full day interaction with that dog and do different lessons throughout the day. Now, I've heard it said, and I want you to hopefully dispel this myth for us, that, you know, gosh, if you have a professional trainer train your dog, you know, and you're not there, when the dog comes back to you, they're not going to listen to you. They're only going to have been trained by that trainer. And I really want you to dispel that, because I think it's such a great option for some people, and it could really be a lifesaver for some dogs. So I want to make sure that people understand that it really can work. So tell us how it can work, and that transfers back to the family when you're done with the dog.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and a question that we are asked all the time. The nice thing about when a dog comes to us is we're able to, whatever the behavior issues are or challenges are, we're able to work the dog through it very quickly, but we're also able to put them in a surrounding with other dogs and people and things like that. So we can work them through things all day long. So it's not like we're just working a dog and then putting away and then we come back the next day and get them. They're out in our facility all day long, and so they're observing other dogs. And dogs learn a lot. You'd be surprised how much they learn just by watching some balanced dogs play and have fun and interact with each other. Whether a dog comes in and has a lot of anxiety or some aggression or just has always been in a house and not around a lot of other dogs other than when it's been taken for a walk, they don't know how to play with other dogs or interact with other dogs. So by watching and just observing it, they learn a lot that way, number one. Then number two, once you have the training, you're always able to be working with the dog. So even if the dog's out and it's not playing appropriately or something like that, you can fix it right away. So you're teaching the dog, nope, that's not appropriate. We want you to do this, not that. So it works. The clients that we train and at our facility, we train over 500 dogs a year. And the people that do the board and trains, they are far and away blown away by them, because there's just no way that they can accomplish what we can accomplish with a dog when we're training at the facility as opposed to home. And that's not saying they're not going to get results if they train at home, but again, we're going to be working with them at home and then giving them some homework to practice through the week, and then the next week we're going to come back and build on that. But at the facility, we can just fix so many things so quickly, and our attention's fully on the dogs, because that's our job, right, to watch the dogs and make sure they're learning. And at home, there's a lot of distractions, whether, you know, people have busy lives, they're working, they have children, just different things going on that takes away from their training time with the dog. So we can get the dogs to a much higher level and bring up their confidence a lot faster as well by doing a board and train.
Now, do some folks do like a kind of a hybrid where they keep the dogs with you like for all day and then, you know, bring them home for bedtime and dinner at home, and then back the next day, kind of an intensive training program, but not with actual overnights? Is that option available as well?
We do not offer that option, and the reason we don't, and trust me, plenty of people ask because they miss their dogs, you know, their family members,
of course,
right?
So, yeah.
But we strongly recommend that they don't do it, just because it's harder on the dog when they miss their family, or they're not thinking about the family because they're working with us. And then if the owners show up, the dogs are really excited to see mom and dad walk in, and then mom and dad pet them and then leave, then the dogs are confused again. So it's just easier for the dog to work, let us do our job and work them through it. And what we do is, because we understand people miss their dogs, we do videos about every 3 to 4 days. We'll do a video of the dog, showing the dog what it's learning, and we'll show the dog playing with other dogs and interacting, so they get to see that, you know, it's having fun, but it's also learning. And then we either email them to them or send it like in a text video.
Oh, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. So you get the comfort of knowing how your dog's doing and getting kind of to check in by the video, but not distracting them or kind of undoing what you're trying to accomplish, so, you know, with your hard work all day, by going home and kind of having to start all over again the next day. So I highly recommend what you're discussing for those who, especially, you know, I don't want to limit it, but for those who have problems that they really feel like they're just really bedeviling and they're just having trouble solving, why not trust someone like Paul, who's devoted his life and his career to doing this work, to give that a shot. Please, please, before you ever consider giving a dog up, go to someone like Paul and have him help you first, because that can make the difference. It could be the difference between a happy dog for the rest of his life with your family or something, a much, much less desirable result. So I encourage people in any way I possibly can to consider this option. The money that you'll spend will be repaid in spades and a hundredfold with the joy of having a dog that's happy. If your dog is happy and well-adjusted and knows that they're not making you unhappy, because let's face it, if we're unhappy, our dogs know that, and they become more withdrawn, and it's a vicious circle, and I've seen it happen, and I'm sure, of course, you have, Paul. So try to break out of the cycle, and don't try to do it yourself. The professionals are there for
you. Yeah, a lot of times it's easier to think about what's in the best interest of the dog, not your, and don't let your emotions get involved. Let the professionals jump in and help.
Well, that's good advice, because it's a loving decision to make. So if you say it's not a detached, cold thing to do, it's a loving decision that will actually result in your getting the dog that you always dreamed of having, and then your dog being just so much happier. So we do have some more time in this segment, and I wanted to discuss the issue of different breeds, because, you know, I think, again, sometimes there's breed prejudice, and, you know, we call it breedism at times, against certain breeds. You know, some dogs are dumber or smarter, and there's the brilliant Border Collie and the, you know, the doofus Dalmatian. And these, I think some of these are cliches, but there could be some truth to some of them. So give us your observations about, you know, purebred dogs. You know, I know you can't go through a whole huge list, but some of the ones that are, first of all, is there truth to the difference in trainability in different breeds, number one? And number two, if so, which breeds are more trainable and which ones do you have to work? I'm assuming you can train any dog, and I believe, and I'm sure that you can. Are some more difficult than others, and which might be in those categories?
Yeah, there are definitely some that are more challenging than others. But as you said, all dogs are trainable. I mean, we haven't found one that we can't train. You know, there's certain dogs that, or breeds, if you want to go with the breeds, that may be more stubborn or not as willing to please you. And there's other dogs that are very happy to please you. They just have to know what you want. And then you have, like, use the border collie as an example of a very smart dog, which they're very, very smart, and actually have a border collie. But the thing with those dogs is they're very smart and they're very high energy. So you have to be able to harness that energy and channel it. Otherwise, they're going to get in more trouble than any other dog, because they get bored really fast and they're active. So they get themselves in trouble if they don't have.
So they're going to find something to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's probably not what you want them to do.
Right. It's not your planned activity. It's their plan.
Right.
You see those bumper stickers, my border collie or my golden retriever is smarter than your second grader or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, they can prove that at times, can't they? By the trouble that they can get in and the stuff that they can open up. Boy, we've, you know, because of the wonderful treats that we make, we get folks sending us stories of dogs and cats sometimes opening up cabinets and things to get at the treats. So, you know, I applaud their ingenuity, but I know that their owners don't want them taking the treats without permission. So,
right.
Now, when it comes to small children and dogs, since we were talking about children, I would like to see if you could just give us some advice. Again, you know, we're in a format here where we can't get into the level of detail that we would like to, but just some advice about both situations. One is that you have small children and you'd like to get that first family dog, or maybe the first one you've had since you've had children. You know, some people have had dogs earlier in life and then start a family and decide it's time to bring a dog into the family again, which is a wonderful decision. And alternatively, of course, the very common situation where a family with a dog has a child, and it can cause a lot of anxiety for the family, you know, when they bring the baby home for the first time and the family dog is there. So I know that's a lot. Let's start with the first scenario where, you know, we're talking about, you know, folks who have, you know, have children and who've decided, you know, their children are young and they want to bring a dog into the family. What are some of the most important things to look at before making that decision?
The most important thing is to look at the family to look at their lifestyle and how active they want the dog to be with them. So if they're a very active family and want the dog to be participating in and going to the kids' soccer games and things like that, you want to get a higher energy dog that wants to do that kind of stuff. If you want more of a family pet that's just going to hang around the house and, you know, on the couch with you and you can, you know, give it affection and it gives you affection in return, you let it out go to the bathroom and that's the main thing you want, then you would get a lower energy dog.
So that's great advice right there. Know your own lifestyle before you choose a dog, and then, you know, we won't go into every dog and their characteristics, but there's just tremendous resources available online and at your library that give at least general statements. And, it's, you know, again, we acknowledge that those are general, but there's some pretty good, you know, truth to that, that there's a lot of difference in the activity level between a, you know, a pug and a golden retriever. So, or border collie. So, you know, do a little bit of homework, please. Don't just pick a dog on the basis of what looks cute to you at the moment. Really discuss your lifestyle. And, of course, we, you know, recommend that you deal only with very reputable breeders that you can visit. Or, of course, rescue operations and rescues for certain breeds. You know, I like breed rescues because sometimes folks, you know, really want a golden and they don't want to do the buying a dog thing, and that can be very controversial. We'll stay out of that for today. But contact the Golden Retriever Rescue in your area or any other breed. Almost every breed has its own rescue group. Now, with the other situation where you already have a dog, and it could be, you know, could be any, obviously, variety of dogs, you're bringing that beautiful new baby home from the hospital for the first time, and you're walking in the house, and there's the dog, and there's the baby. What are some of the things you should do before you bring the dog home? Like, I've heard people say, bring a blanket home or something that was near the baby before you bring the baby home to get the dog used to that smell. Is there anything to that? And please, I'm sorry for throwing out an amateur notion like that, but tell us some of the things that you can maybe do to make that preparation smoother and that introduction more rewarding.
Sure. First off, usually dogs are going to pick up that it's an infant, and they're not. It's not going to be like vast majority of cases, it's not going to be like an aggression issue. They're going to be curious. They may want to come up and smell the baby and things like that. But what we recommend is exactly what you said: bring something home from the hospital that smells like the child. So it could be the blanket, it could be whatever, a shirt, or you can bring your own shirt and have the baby laying on it. Come home so it has that scent on it. You can let your dog smell it. You can even go as far as putting it in where the dog sleeps, so it associates that smell with good things, and also even put it in the dog's food, meaning if it's a T-shirt or a towel or whatever, you can pour the dog's dog food on it and just kind of move it around, shuffle it around, so it gets that odor on it. And dogs associate food as a good thing, right? So you can then feed the dog, pour it in the dog's bowl, and they're associating that smell as a good thing too. So
that's a great idea. I like that one a lot, Paul. So in the situation where a dog, you know, might act like a little anxious or jealous around an infant, what are some of the things that we can do to kind of smooth things over? What are some ways that we can kind of make the dog, because obviously the infant can't participate all that much, make the dog feel more comfortable and not threatened by the existence of this new being in the household?
That's a great question. And a lot of times I don't even think it's that the dog's threatened. It's more that before the baby comes home, the dog is the focal point in a family. And then they bring the baby home, and all the attention is going to the baby, nurturing it and taking care of the baby. The dog gets put on the back burner and then starts acting out. That's when you'll see stuff happen. It's not
right.
When this baby first comes home. It's down the road because the dog was like, wow, I used to get all this attention, and now I don't get attention at all because they're focused on the baby.
It's so, like Lady and the Tramp syndrome, for those who have seen that classic movie, and that's that's what happens in the movie. So make sure we don't completely start ignoring our dogs when we bring home a baby, right?
Right, and get them involved. And once your dog has training and knows, has obedience commands, things like that, you can always redirect their attention. So it's not an appropriate time to be by the baby, you can teach them, you know, to go to a place or spot in the room and lay down and hold it, just redirect their attention somewhere else, which comes in handy when you're changing a baby's diapers. Trust me, I went through that one. And so the dog's not over there smelling and doing all that stuff. But also, yeah, definitely get them involved and keep them involved. So if you don't, that's when they start getting they start misbehaving, and you'll see other behaviors that escalate from that, so from jealousy.
That sounds also like good advice. You're obviously a very capable trainer, and it's just really great to hear the things that you're saying, because they all just have so a lot of good common sense, but it's just stuff that you really need to be a professional to know how to shape and form these, even the ideas, and how to explain it to people. And now, when we make the decision to add a second dog to a family, because I'm a big advocate of the two-dog family lifestyle. I believe that it, and you know, here, I'm just, my opinion, for what it's worth, I find that households, generally speaking, with two dogs have an easier time. Of course, it's a little more expensive, and I don't want to ignore that fact. But with two dogs, the dogs do tend to comfort each other, and you don't have as much anxiety or separation issues when you leave a dog at home, which, you know, all of us have to leave our dogs home sometimes. I mean, I don't recommend more than, you know, 6 to 8 hours at a time. That's really starting to get a little bit too long for the dogs for bathroom and stuff. But when choosing a second dog to add to the family, what are some of the things that we need to be aware of?
First off, that the dogs are going to get along, and I would, if you're going to do it, number one, I would do it and introduce them in neutral territory, because if you just bring a new dog into the house, the other dog, you know, that's their territory, so they may be more inclined to react or defend their territory and claim their territory. So do it on neutral ground where they can sniff, get to know each other, make sure they're going to get along, things like that, and just make sure that they're going to be able to coexist together. You know, some dogs, we see it on both sides. Sometimes that works great, and other times it's a disaster because the dogs don't get along, or the one, you know, dog may start getting food aggression or be possessive of its toys or its bones. And a lot of times it just starts out as a growl, like, back off, this is mine. And then if it's not fixed and fixed pretty fast, then it escalates, and then it turns into all the dogs do is turn and look at each other, and it's, you know, it can turn into a fight pretty quick. And then a lot of times that's when we're getting the calls, when, you know, that's already happened. Oh, my dogs are fighting. What do we do? They got along great for 3 months or six months, and, you know, we're in a jam. Can you help us? You know, so that stuff is fixable. But the main thing is be proactive. You know, just if you're going to get another dog, don't wait for the problems to escalate. You know, just get them trained, and so they know what's acceptable, what you want from them, and they have rules and boundaries.
So introduce on neutral territories is a great idea, and try to know your current dog and try to find a dog that's compatible. Like if you have a really active dog, is it good to get another dog that's very active so that they can be rambunctious together, or do you try to balance it out with a dog that's calmer? I know there's no hard and fast rules, but I'm just wondering what your suggestion is along those lines.
Yeah, if you have a real active dog, you know, if you get a new dog that's not active at all, or vice versa, what can happen is the one that's not active really doesn't always want to play, and the active dog wants to play. So then, that can cause problems too, because the one dog is more of a lazy dog that just kind of likes to lay around and hang out, and the other one's like constantly wants to play, so it's in its face and nipping at it, like play biting, and trying to engage the other dog, and sometimes that can go bad. So I would get either, you know, the lower energy dogs. Just get one that kind of matches your dog's energy level, I guess.
So try to get really more of a match than that. Opposites attract is not really the rule to go by with dogs then.
Another place we see it is when people have a dog that's, let's say, 7-8 years old, and they decide to bring a new dog into the house, a puppy, and or a rescue that's younger with more energy. And the older dogs, you know, they're past that real playful stage where they want to play all day, and they just don't have the energy for it. And the puppy's like, what do you mean? I want to play. You're not going to play with me? And then you see it there, too, where the older dogs are like, just, you know, leave me alone. I just want to lay here and hang out in the sun, you know?
Right. So, and, you know, and there's also, I think that, you know, in the perfect world, and it's wonderful when this happens, that, you know, a younger dog comes in and the dog that's, you know, not, you know, advanced geriatric, but an older dog, they can be really revitalized. If they're a dog that used to be a little more active, but they just have kind of gotten just a little lazier, a little bored, and not to be critical of the laziness, you know what I mean, but just they're just kind of quieted down. You know, sometimes it can work wonders to get the, you know, your current dog kind of more active again and more engaged. So I think that the best advice that you can possibly give is to try to match your lifestyle and type. If you're starting with a new puppy, of course, you're not going to have a lot of information about that dog's specific behavior, but you can know something about that dog based on their breed, or even if they're a mixed breed, you can, you know, you can usually get an idea, if you have some idea what type of mixed breeds they are, as to what personality traits they would lean towards.
And if you have an older dog and it's a well-balanced dog, if the younger dog has more energy and wants to play, a lot of times, you know, dogs communicate to each other. So the older dog, you'll see just kind of like growl and just kind of give it a warning, back off, I don't want to play. And the puppy understands that. So they communicate back and forth. So they can also resolve it that way pretty quick.
Great. Now I'm going to take one more quick break, and then we'll come back for our final segment. And we really appreciate your being on with us, and you've given us just really, really good, concise answers. And I just have to remind everyone, these are just all starting points. And the reason that businesses like Sit Means Sit exist and other trainers and training facilities is exactly for this reason, so that those of us who would love dogs and love having them in our lives can have professional help in making that experience the most positive it can possibly be for the life of the dog. I mean, let's face it, that's a lifetime commitment. And having someone who is an expert in training and who can be a little bit more dispassionate, because sometimes even just the patience factor can be tough with our own dogs, just like with our own kids. So I think having someone who's a third party who's got the professional tools as well as the patience, you'd be amazed at the difference it can make. So, Paul, thank you so much, and we'll be back in 1 minute to wrap up.
Look forward to it.
Love for the human race, make it a better race.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost.
Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. At Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
People of the world, let's get together.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Radio on All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network. And this is your host, Anthony Benny, with our very special guest today, Paul Pollock, of Sit Means Sit, which is a pretty emphatic name for a dog training operation, but that pretty much says it, doesn't it? Sit means sit, and stay means stay, and come means come, and those are the three critical commands, aren't they, Paul?
Absolutely.
You know, when they do these canine good citizenship tests, which is, I think, one of the cool things that's been added to the, you know, in the old days, dog shows were pretty much all just looking at dogs and how pretty they were, which I found kind of boring, frankly. But I really think that the AKC has shown their wisdom by allowing a lot more variety into their events, and one of them is the canine good citizenship testing. And of course, you're familiar with that. And what does that consist of, Paul? The basic canine good citizenship kind of, you know, certificate.
We do the canine good citizen certificates and therapy dogs as well. And a lot of what both the tests are overlap on a lot of the exercises or things the dogs need to be able to do. But it's being able to accept a pet from a stranger. So a stranger can come up and pet them, touch their feet, things like that. Mm-hmm. Be able to hold a sit and have the owner walk away. You need to be able to hand the leash off to someone and let them leave the room. It's called a separated supervision. So if someone was out somewhere, hey, can you hold my dog? Whether they have to run and grab something out of their car or use the restroom or something like that, someone can hold their dog and their dog's not going to go into a panic mode. They have to be able to be brushed by a stranger. So you can have like a brush, a dog brush or comb and run it through them, make sure they're okay with that, things like that.
And what about one of the toughest things for those? And I'll confess to you, as the host of this program, who is very well educated in nutrition and have written and spoken tons about nutrition and all the aspects of that. And the reason I love talking to trainers is because that's not my area of expertise. And one of the toughies is the recall. Is the, you know, that essential when your dog is heading off in some other direction, to get them to come back to you. And I know that there's no, like, you know, quick instant fixes for any of this. It's doing the work. But what are some tips for getting a dog to do the recall, to come when called?
The main thing you want to do is, number one, you have to be able to get the dog's attention. So if it's focused on something else or distracted by something else, you have to have a way to communicate and enforce the command. We always teach our customers, if you're going to give the command, enforce it. If you're not going to enforce it, don't give it. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it, depending on your training style. But you can use remote collars. You can use a long line with a leash and always make sure the dog comes back to you every time. So and some dogs are just more opportunistic than others. So if they see a squirrel and take off, they're, you know, a shout or a treat, just, it's not going to work because the dog's, the value of that treat is not the value of that squirrel they're chasing. You know, it's a higher value.
They weigh the options and you lose.
Right. So the first thing we teach every dog we train and of a client is to teach their dog to come to you on command around distractions. So we, with our training, we train around distractions. So we want you to be able to have your dog in any situation and know with confidence it's going to listen. Because the reality is, think about it. Out in the real world, there's always going to be distractions, whether it's a car, a squirrel, a kid, another dog, a cat. They're out there. It's going to happen. Someone knocking at your door. There's always distractions. So you have to be able to get the dog's attention and understand, if I call you, I'm not being mean, but you have to come to me. It's not an option. Just like you wouldn't let your kid run into the street, you know. So
that makes
rules.
Perfect sense. Now, We're kind of coming to the end, and we could do a full hour with you, and I hope that you will come back with us again and do a full hour, and we can do some call-ins and get some questions from our listeners about some specific things, and that really requires an hour to make sure that we get some good questions in. But before we break up for today, first I want to just give you your props as the winner. Your organization, SIT Means SIT of Cleveland Akron, is the winner in both 2009, 11, and 12 of the Fox 8 Best Dog Training in your area, as well as the Akron Beacon newspaper, 2010, 2011, 2012, Best Dog Training, and you've been on Animal Planet, ESPN, Outdoor Channel. So, I mean, we're talking, folks, to a real expert here, and we're really fortunate to have Paul with us. So I want to ask Paul's advice for those of us who aren't fortunate enough to be close enough to go and see Paul personally, how to choose a dog trainer in our area. What are some of the key things to look for and maybe to avoid as our kind of last question for today's program?
The key I would look for is, number one, I always tell people, look at have the trainer bring their dog or see the trainer's dog, because anyone can tell you they're a dog trainer and they have great success and your dog will be perfect, but the proof's in the pudding. Look at their dog. If their dog is well behaved and well mannered and listens to them around distractions, whether it's outside or inside, that's a really good sign right there. You have to, you know, if they just come out and say, hey, I can train the dog, you're just going on their word. And if you're able to see their dog, that's even more beneficial. So that you can also talk to some clients that they work with. And, you know, I wouldn't just ask for three, because anyone can give you a name of three people they had success with. Talk to a number of them. Do your homework. And then also see what they can do with your dog. See how they interact with it. And like with Sit Means Sit, we always do a free in-home demonstration where we'll come out to the house, or sometimes people come to the facility but with their dog. But we do a demonstration right on the spot to show you that we're going to be able to help you and make a difference. So that way you can, you know it's going to work. You're not going in and saying, well, I hope this is going to work out. You know, you'll see it's going to work. And there's a lot of other people that, other companies that do that as well, I'm sure. But always look at the trainer's dog.
That's great advice, both of those. Say, look, you know, if you go into a facility, you know, by all means, see, you know, if the owner or any of the training staff have their personal dogs with them, see how their dogs interact with them, and insist. I say, I'm sorry, I'm just going to come right out and say, insist on an introductory session. You know, not that you're trying to get something for nothing, but you need to see style-wise, personality-wise, if there's going to be a good match, and also just see the way that individual interacts with your dog, and you'll learn a lot about them as a trainer and also that personal decision, whether you feel comfortable with that person. So I think it's great that you offer that, and I hereby declare that everyone who does training as a profession and wants your trust should offer you that same option that Paul's offering his clients. I think that that's a fantastic thing to do, and that's, I think, where we're going to wrap up for today. When you choose a trainer who has proven that they not only have some experience, I mean, everybody deserves a chance to get started in a new profession, but, you know, let's face it, experience is one of the greatest things, is to have somebody who has some background and some track record, have someone who's willing to do an introductory session, have you bring the dog to their facility to interact some or to come to your home, and, you know, above all else, kindness, and this is my opinion, is that I believe that good trainers are always kind. They're firm, but they're kind. And my lifestyle feeling about how we interact with our canines as companions requires kindness at all times. So I hope you agree with that, Paul. I can't imagine that you don't.
Absolutely, I do.
On that note, I want everyone to visit cleveland.sitmeanssit.com. Follow these guys on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and there's a lot of great resources on the website. Even if you're not in the Cleveland area, you can get some really good background on training, and it'll help you to choose a trainer in your area. So, Paul, thank you so much for being with us on Clear Conscience Pet Radio today, and I absolutely insist that you come back and join us again sometime. I hope you can do that for us.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd love to. Anytime.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Paul, and Thank you all for listening to Clear Conscience Pet Radio. And remember, your dog is your best friend. Treat them the same way. Thank you so much for being here.